All right.
We're going to save Second Peter until everybody gets back on Monday, so. Well, actually, yeah, not everybody, but name well, two. So we're going to still look at Romans 5 for a minute today. So everybody go to Romans 5. It's important. Romans 4 is literally a description of Abraham as the perfect Christian, which is, to me, fascinating. But instead of Romans 5, let's start in Romans 4. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That sounds like Abraham was a big hero and he believed instantly, but that's not what happened. He did stagger at the promise. He said, how can this be? I'm too old and my wife doesn't have a womb anymore, but whatever he said. But faith doesn't see that. I won't go through all the crap I know about you, but faith doesn't see all of it. Faith sees only faith. And that's how God sees you. He sees you as you will be, not as you are. But because from him there's no time. So he sees the finished product. So you don't have to even worry about your, you know, if you have questions, if you're uncertain, this or that. That's all part of the game. So, but that's not what we're studying. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have peace with God, then we have peace of mind. That's the greatest promise that we have reached. Our mind can stay in the Sabbath. That's what it means to have the mind of Christ. There's nothing to do. You have no work set before you. There's only him. Whatever you're dealing with, you give it instantly to him, and you empty self. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. Now, tribulation is this one of my favorite words in the scriptures in Greek. It's thelespis. And thelespis is like having a tube of toothpaste, and the hole in it is only like 1 micron wide. And you got to squeeze all the toothpaste through that hole that's 1 micron wide. That's what thelespis is. That squeezing can drive you nuts. It can include pain. It's pressure. It can feel like oppression. It's affliction. It's distress. and you're being squeezed ever and ever and ever into a narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower path. But at the same time, you're at peace. Well, that's a mystery. So, tribulation worketh patience. And patience is the word in Greek, hupomono. But it means constancy, enduring, perseverance, steadfastness. It's the characteristic of one who has not swerved from the purpose by the greatest trials and the greatest suffering. It's patience. That's what patience is. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
And patience worketh experience. Now, that's kind of a bad word. It's dokima. It's one that's been approved by the test. It's a characteristic of tried worth. You would say that gold, after it's been refined and put through the heat to get rid of all the impurities, is dokuma, is what here is experience. Nothing, once that takes place, and I promise you it'll take place in all of you, then I can't even describe what there's no more of. There's no more of the Gentile mind bugging you. No matter what happens, you know that God is sovereign. And you know that you are in His perfect will, and you're constantly at rest no matter what the situation is.
Of course, is why that kind of is experience. After you figure that out, that's experience.
Yeah. All right, and experience hope. And this is a strange word. It's elpis. And it means the certainty that what is promised has already come to pass. It's not that it's going to come or it might come. It's the certainty that it's already come to pass. And that's the confidence we have, because when, it's all over the scriptures, but it's when Jesus said it's finished, then it means it was finished for you also. Can you hear that? Now, it's taken now almost 2,000 years for his people throughout all the centuries, and we've had some really bad centuries in terms of faith. I believe we're in the worst century we've ever had right now. I think where there's more apostasy, a falling away from the mystery than ever before in the history of Christianity. And it breaks my heart to see what's being taught in the name of God. And every time we have some new person come, like we had, we had actually three new people last night. Do you count Sarah new? I guess she's still new.
That was her second time, so she's
pretty new. But it's like each one of them, especially Max's brother, he heard. There's something beyond anything that we can know about that is already in you, that everything is finished and everything is perfect. You can just stop seeing the necessity to use this evil one. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, that means without Christ in terms of our understanding, In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And remember, there's ungodly is asebia. And it means wrong thinking. And so basically, it means thinking as you normally thought before. And that's... It's great that it's in one way that it's translated as ungodly, but it's great because it crystallizes the meaning. But ungodly sounds real religious, and it's just how you see the world, what goes on in your mind as you watch stuff. You're either doing it as a Gentile or seeing the finished work. You either see you own all things, and all things exist for your purpose. You've been perfected by one offering. Or are you still thinking like a Gentile? In due time, Christ died for that wrong thinking, the ungodly, for you and I. He died instead of us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies... When we were ungodly and were enemies, because that's what our mind is. It's the fruit of the curse. There's nothing from your mind that can produce anything that's good, with one exception: repentance. Every one of us, some more than others, worship your mind. You worship your emotions. Because that's, remember, worship just means giving breath to. In the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into this thing, for that temptation. But to the contrary, deliver us from the evil one. It's so simple. Why is it so difficult? Because you still think there's something good here. As long as you think there's something good in this thing, you're going to continue to use it. Pete makes fun of me because I used to be good at stuff, a lot of stuff, but I can't even make a copy now. I mean, it's like I don't know how to do anything.
That's not good.
Well, it is good in one sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's go on. We're not.
Shannon.
Huh?
Shannon.
Amen.
Couldn't do anything.
For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life in us. No longer you that liveth. No. Unless you really are still worshiping this thing, think you got some really good stuff up there. This is the best news there is. But if you think you got some good ideas, you got some good up here, then you won't hear any of this. You'll forget it as you walk out the door. Wherefore, by one man, well, wait a minute. The point of it is that we are saved by his life. You gotta get that in your head. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now, even though atonement is an English word and it's spelled, you can either atonement, at one month. A lot of preachers use that as a little word trick, but atonement really means at one month. But nothing in your mind can understand this. And the only way to hear is not by studying, not by the only way to see and hear is by repentance. Getting rid of ungodly mind, wrong thinking.
You can take that back into the Abraham story and the David story and the, you know, all the other stories and see that act that they screwed up or questioned or didn't believe or whatever, they didn't just sit there. They said something. You know, they talked to God about it. And when it was revealed, they repented. And that's, you know, what resets the entire clock back to zero. You know, the worst thing you can do is to sit there and I don't understand, I ain't going to say anything about it.
No, I know. Anyway, that's enough. Anybody have any other response? So, tribulation, the terrible philespus, works patience. Steadfast endurance, no matter what the issue is. All right. Take it, big guy. We've got oatmeal galore this morning. So eat your fill. Take it, big guy. I said that already.